We just thank you for joining us. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible, Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. Can I get a whoop, whoop? Whoop, whoop. Hallelujah. Amen. That was fun. Church can be fun. You know that? Boring churches are down the road. This is a fun church. Hallelujah. This is a church that speaks the truth of God. Fire-breathing, tongue-talking, Holy Spirit-led church, preaching the gospel. Worshiping the King of Kings, giving him everything we got. In spite of us, we're giving him everything we have. Perfectly imperfect people, serving the perfect God. That's the church we are, cover to cover. We believe in the Word of God. We believe what it says is true. And it's not for then, it's for now and until he comes again. That's the kind of church we are. We're a church that believes it all. If God wants us to have it, we're going to get it. We're going to serve him with everything we have. Welcome to First Open Bible. Hallelujah. This month, our series has been titled, Discipled. You don't have to be perfect to do God's work. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look no further than the 12 disciples who their many weaknesses are forever preserved through the pages of the New Testament. Can you imagine if you were written, your life was written in the New Testament? Anybody be ashamed in here? But anybody be thankful that God's turning it around? He's not only got you through it, he's getting you through it right now, right? You're not only going to be victorious in the past, you're going to be victorious right now in the present and in the future. So you know what? Write about my past, because that ain't me anymore. I want them to write about now, what God is doing now, what he's about to do in my life. So, but unfortunately, we had these 12 disciples, and we get to read all about them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus chose ordinary men, fishermen, tax collectors, tradesmen, even political zealots, we still have those today, and turned their weaknesses into strength, producing greatness from people who were otherwise known as unremarkable. The 12 disciples weren't the stained glass saints we imagine. On the contrary, they are truly human, prone to mistakes, misstatements, wrong attitudes, lapses of faith, and even bitter failure. Simply put, they're flawed people, just like us. Just a couple things before we get into the word today. Easter egg hunt is on today. It's on like Donkey Kong. Hey, amen. Anybody sometimes just want to push the kids out of the way and grab one yourself? Yeah. See you at the altar here. We'll open it up in a moment. I do. I love candy, so. Now as I get older, candy doesn't love me like it once did. Looks like Easter eggs right here. Okay, moving on. So Easter egg hunt's on today because last week it rained and it poured. And so we got it going on today. Go ahead and open up your Bible app, YouVersion. Open up there. Go in the bottom right corner. There's three lines there. It says more. And you can click on events. Go to First Church of the Open Bible or First Open Bible Church. Click on there. You'll see today's notes. You can click save. If you don't like it, you can unsave it. Hallelujah. But God knows. It says that if you know the truth and you don't do the truth, you are sinning. So those of you who unclick the save, oh my, my, my. Anyway, last Sunday was so amazing, wasn't it? It was incredible. We had record numbers, absolutely insane numbers. We had 28 salvations and rededications. It was amazing. Easter Sunday was incredible. I want to read this. Luke 24:5-7 says this. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." I love Easter. It's the greatest celebration for a Christian. It's our main event. I call it the Super Bowl, the church Super Bowl, right? It's the main event. It's the granddaddy of them all. It's Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday gives us victory over sin and death and sickness and lack and depression and anger and addictions, over evil and so much more. But the work of the kingdom was not finished after Resurrection Sunday. In fact, resurrection power is the power in which God's work is done right now. So here we are, a week after Easter, and we might be asking ourselves the same thing the disciples asked themselves 2,000 years ago. Jesus is alive. He died for us. He rose from the grave. Praise God. What's next? Okay, now what? Now remember, when Jesus first left them and he died on a cross and he was in the grave, they all went back to their old ways of living. They all went back to their old sinful ways, thinking the same sinful things, doing the same stuff. Jesus still died on the cross for them, but they went back to their sin. They went back to their thoughts. They went back to their bad habits. They went back to those things. Something changed, church. Now, after Resurrection Sunday 2025, many people went right back to their normal routines. You went back to work. Kids went back to school. The same old, same old. Something similar happened to the first resurrection back on a Sunday 2,000 years ago as well. Well, at least they thought it did. I'm sure there was a huge buzz around town that this guy named Jesus, he was raised back to life. Can you believe that? He was raised back to life. I heard him say it once that he was going to do that. And his disciples said he was going to do that. And he did. But many people believed the lies that were spread by the religious. Yes, the leaders of the church spread lies and said, hey, for the glory of God, we're going to lie. What? Read it right here, Matthew 28, 11 through 15. It says, as the women were on their way, they were going to tell the disciples as they went on their way. By the way, I love this. If you don't think that ladies have a place in ministry, you don't believe the gospel. The first evangelists after the resurrection were females. Anyway, come on now. Come on, ladies. Hey! Hey, I'm blessed. Praise God. Hey. You listen up. You listen up. It's true. Okay. Matthew 28, 11 through 15 says this, as the women were on their way, some of the guards went to the city and told the leading priest what had happened. This dude, the angels knocked us out and Jesus was resurrected and these ladies came and all this stuff happened. What are we supposed to do? And a meeting with the elders was called and they decided to give the soldiers a large bribe. The Bible also says you can't love mammon and love God at the same time. They told the soldiers, you must say Jesus' disciples came during the night while we were sleeping and they stole his body. If the governor hears about it, we'll stand up for you so you won't get in trouble. So the guards accepted the bribe and said what they were told to say. Their story, listen to this, their story spread among the Jews and they still tell it today. Imagine if this didn't happen, what Jerusalem and Israel would look like today. How many Jews would still remain? How many would be Messianic Jews? Still to this day, many people don't believe Jesus actually died and rose again. Still to this day, many people still don't live as if the resurrection actually happened. Time went on and the buzz slowed down within the city, like many things, many new things do. The first disciples didn't really know what to do after they heard the news. What's next? I have no idea. Well, not until they met the resurrected Christ face to face. Put your fingers in my hands and put your hand here in my side. See that it is me. They didn't know what to do until they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered to do what Jesus called them to do. Church, it doesn't only matter what you believe about the resurrection, it also matters what you do with that belief. We've heard this before, knowledge is power. But resurrection knowledge and resurrection power is meant for action. Let the philosophers just sit around and talk about a bunch of stuff. Let them have some brainstorming sessions and you get out and go to work. Being a disciple of Christ means actively learning, actively striving, actively following, and actively changing so you can ultimately become like Jesus. You will know that you're growing in discipleship when you start to notice that you're making greater sacrifices for the kingdom of God. You are doing things and saying things you could never do or say under your own power. You will notice your life starts to no longer be your own. Your life becomes centered around demonstrating the love of God by following the commands of God. You start to become people-centered and you stop being so self-centered. You will actually start living as if Romans 8:11 is actually real in your life, where it says the same Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give you your life to your mortal bodies. And what else? By the same Spirit that's living within you, you'll start living as if the resurrection actually happened. True disciples of Christ, you know what? They just live different. They say we're peculiar. I don't know, but my whole life, I've always been a little peculiar. If my sister, what? I heard that. Come on now. She says you still are. Come on, Miss Marilyn. You've been hanging out with my wife. Hey, now that's a good thing. Thank you. Praise God. I don't know if you want to be normal, but you ain't going to affect nobody. You'd be like, oh, you're just part of the crowd. Who cares? No. We're called to live and to lead the crowd. Amen. See, disciples, they live different. They live peculiar, even today. So, they live with resurrection power. That was good. Sometimes it just bubbles up out of your belly and you're like, oh, I can't get that back. Okay. See, disciples, they want to do what Jesus said to do, but it's going to take great faith. Faith is not always the reality that's in front of you, but instead it's what you've hoped for. It's what God has promised. Things that we can't always see right now, but choosing to still follow God's ultimate plan. Resurrection power is the only way a disciple of Christ can live out their faith. Sometimes, church, we make simple things of faith so complex. We make it so much harder than it is. So this morning, I want us all to find our foundation again this morning. We're going to get back to the heart of what we're called to do and who we're called to do it for and with what power we're going to do it with. Are you ready? Let's get into it. For followers of Jesus Christ, both in that time, 2,000 years ago, and followers today, the question after the resurrection is this: what's next? So the resurrection has happened and Jesus is alive. He appears to hundreds of his followers. Then he calls all his disciples to do what's next. And he says this in Matthew 28. He says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Check this out. Jesus says, I've been given all authority from heaven and this earth. I've been given this authority, so now I give it to you. And then he says what he gives it to you for. It's not so you can build your kingdom and do all the things that you want to do and live the life that you want to live and enjoy that house with the picket fence and the multiple dogs and living life and going on vacations and loving everything. It's not about the American dream. It's about God's purpose and plans for your life. He says, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So here's what I want you to do with it, because here it is for you. I'm about to tell you how you can get this authority as well. This power as well. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, the Great Commission is part of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. These instructions are not suggestions. We keep living as if they're just suggestions. They're instructions for all disciples everywhere, for all of eternity, until he comes back again. They're for every single person who follows Jesus. So many people in church are just fans of Jesus and not followers of Jesus. They want to know about God, but they never want to actually follow him. Knowledge is power, but knowledge of resurrection power is action. James tells us, faith without works is dead. If you haven't been working for the kingdom of God, your faith is actually dead. Wake up, O sleeper. Today's your wake-up call. Wake up. Get to work. Come on now. Praise God. I don't know if I want to go to church today. Too bad you're here. The Great Commission is not a suggestion. And the Great Commission is not reserved for just the fivefold ministry. Well, I'm not in ministry. I'm not in full-time ministry. Yes, you are. Your life is a pulpit. Your life is a testimony. Your life should be the Word of God. People should be able to read the Word of God by looking at you and realizing where you're going and what you're saying. The Great Commission from Jesus is for all God's disciples. I pray this morning you're going to open your spiritual eyes and open your spiritual mind to see and understand the big picture of your life. Anybody want to know the big picture of your life? Good, I'm going to tell you anyway. The big picture of your life is to be an important part of the Great Commission until Jesus comes back again. How do I know that? Here's another testimony of what that is. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's masterpiece." You are God's masterpiece. You are perfectly and wonderfully made. You are the apple of his eye. You are the head and not the tail. You're not below and beneath, but you're above. God has called you. You're his masterpiece. There's none like you, and there never will be another one just like you, ever. I don't care if you're identical twins. You are still unique. You're called. You have a purpose. You have a purpose from God. I love what Ephesians 2:10 says. It says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Then it tells us why. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. We're anew. We're new. And then it says, why are we new? We're God's masterpiece, and the way that we got there is Jesus made us new to be his masterpiece. And it says this, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. When God spoke the universe into existence, he had a purpose and plan for your life right now, right here, this very day. Jesus wants us to leave this world a better place. To live for what we're called to live for, not the American dream. Jesus didn't die on the cross for you to live the American dream. This gospel message can be preached in any country, anywhere, everywhere. It's not about the American dream. It's our life now is to live for what God wants our life to be. It's his dreams. It's his purpose. It's his calling. It's better than the American dream. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Jesus said, go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. Rinse and repeat. Go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. When do you stop? You don't. Okay, rinse and repeat. Go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. Okay, go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. So the first one is to go. Notice Jesus doesn't tell his disciples to stay put and proclaim the gospel to whoever happens to come by. He doesn't say, make a building, stay in there, and see who stumbles in, and then minister to them. Some of you haven't invited somebody to church for who knows how long. Why? Are you ashamed of us? Are you? Are you ashamed of us? Miss Marilyn might be ashamed of the peculiar pastor that's preaching today, but amen. Special. You're special. I've been called special my whole life. Amen. Started with my mama. You haven't invited somebody to church. You haven't spoke to somebody about Jesus in how long? Why? Why? The first commandment that Jesus gives is to go and make disciples of all nations, and that's exactly what the disciples 2,000 years ago, they eventually did. You know the disciples couldn't do it at first. They went back to their old sinful ways. They were ashamed. They were freaked out. They were full of fear. When Jesus died and that silent Saturday happened, they all just went back to their old ways of living. Until something incredible happened. So the disciples eventually, they went to Jerusalem after Pentecost, right? They went to Jerusalem, and then after Pentecost, the disciples go to the city and proclaim the gospel. Peter, loudmouth Peter, angry Peter, guy who cuts people's ears off, the guy that puts his foot in his mouth, sometimes, somehow he puts them both in his mouth at the same time, the guy that was just radical, over the top, ridiculous, preaches full of the Spirit, one of the greatest sermons that's ever been preached. 3,000 men plus women and children come to Christ that day. And you know what they even said before that? All the people, when they come out of that upper room, they all go, oh my goodness, these people are crazy. They're drunk. And they're like, we're not drunk. It's 10 a.m., man. We're speaking in the Spirit. Don't you know the Old Testament where it says that in the last days he's going to pour out his Spirit, we're going to speak with other tongues? Signs, wonders, and miracles are going to take place? No, we're filled with the Spirit right now. You just don't know. So let me lay hands. I'll receive it. Oh, my. Right? Pentecost. Pentecostals started right then and there. Spirit of God poured out that very time. You know what's crazy? I'm going to take a side here for a second. And I mentioned this. But Jesus spoke to hundreds. 500 were commissioned to go into the middle of the city and to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that I'm sending the promise from the Father. I'm sending the power from on high. I'm sending the Spirit of God. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. I'm sending him to you to fill you with power. Okay, I'm going to get to that in just a second. But what's crazy to think is 500 were sent. 120 only stayed. It still happens today. Down the street, you'll see all over Cedar Rapids, they preach the gospel with no Holy Spirit, and they've been doing it since 2,000 years ago. They've been doing ministry without what Jesus actually told them to do. He said, before you go, I want you to stay in the city and have power. And they thought it was more important to go and do what we're supposed to do than be empowered to do what we're called to do. Still happening today. And then we wonder why churches are closing down and pastors are burning out and people aren't getting filled and delivered and set free. There's no presence of God because you didn't invite him. You didn't honor him and you didn't ask God to fill the place. It's still happening today. Even the disciples themselves could do nothing without the Spirit. Jesus knew this. But first he says to go. If you haven't gone somewhere and told somebody about Jesus, you're still on step one. You have not even done the go. Right? You took Ephesians chapter 6 and it says stand. Stand in your faith. Stand. And you've just been standing and you're like concrete. He also wants you to go. Go. You know why you're afraid to go? Because you do it in your own strength. That's why you're afraid to go. Break the pride right now in Jesus' name. Greater things are for those who believe. All of us here today are beneficiaries because of the faithful followers who answered the call of the Great Commission. Someone said yes to go and make disciples, and you're here today because of it. Someone said, yes, I will go. Yes, I will share. Yes, I will speak. Yes, I will invite. Yes, yes, yes. And we are beneficiaries of that. It doesn't matter if it was last week. It doesn't matter if it was 100 years ago. It doesn't matter if your family has always gone to this church for however long. Someone said, yes, I will go. I will share. I will do the Great Commission. I will step out of the boat in faith. I'll get past myself and I'll do what God has called me to do. The commandment number two, the second part of the commandment, is after going, there's a making. Make disciples. Now, making disciples is twofold. First, there's an act of making new disciples. We are to disciple the people who come in contact with when we go to our neighborhoods, our communities, and beyond. Always in the forefront of the life of the church is bringing people who are lost to find and follow Jesus. That's why we're here. That is the main reason why we are here. It's to see the lost be saved. We must always seek and save the lost to help make new disciples. Now, the second aspect of making disciples is this. You personally continue to grow in your relationship with Christ. You, believer, we are all called to continue to grow in our discipleship. While we seek to make new disciples, we have to go and then we make. Now, the third one is a command to baptize new disciples. The celebration of the sacrament of water baptism is special, and it's a serious thing, and it should come after accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We see that principle throughout the New Testament. Water baptism is an outward expression of an inward change. It's an open acknowledgement to say, I am aligned with Jesus. He is mine and I am his. I will never go back. I am a child of God. Here I am. I'm a servant of the King. This is an incredible celebration, and everyone who is a believer should experience this once in their lifetime. Go and make disciples. And how do we do it? We baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know what? We like the Father. He gives good gifts to his children. We talk about the Father because we're sons and daughters of the Father. That's wonderful. We love Jesus because he died on the cross for us and he rose again. We love Jesus. We're thankful for Jesus. We would have nothing without him. But why do we never really talk about the Spirit? We baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why do we not talk about the Spirit of God more often? Why do churches not talk about it? Number one, they're either fearful. Number two, they don't understand. Number three, they don't want to lose control. It's one of them. But even Jesus himself says we can do nothing without the Spirit. Woo, all the things we're doing. Empty. Powerless in our own charismatic, our own mindsets, our own knowledge. We're doing things for the kingdom. Without kingdom power. Blows my mind. Commands 4 and 5 say this. Finally, there's a call to teach and obey. All that Jesus commanded. A normal and natural way to express our love to God is giving ourselves in love for others. I've said yes to Jesus, and I said, Jesus, take me anywhere, do anything. I'm a servant of God. Every day I wake up, I'm serving somebody, if not lots of somebody. It's just my life. I serve the greatest servant, so I want to be like him. So I'm a servant, right? So many people in church, we sit and we be served, and we don't serve back. I don't think you understand the gospel completely. The gospel is a gospel of salvation and redemption, and then it's servanthood. You must serve to understand the kingdom of God. You have to. If you're not serving, you're not walking in the kingdom of God. You're not walking in his promises. You actually are missing out. Sometimes when we serve, we get more blessed than the person we're blessing. Sometimes, I should say most of the time. We serve, we teach and obey, we give ourselves and love others by sharing and teaching others about Jesus Christ. If you're not teaching about God, what are you teaching? If you're not obeying God, who or what are you obeying? The world must know that Jesus died and rose again. This is the hope for all mankind. But if the church won't go and the church won't teach and the church won't obey, who will? Pastor Oswald J. Smith said this. He said, quote, any church not involved in the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist, end quote. I agree with that, Pastor. I want to ask you a question. Does your heart ache for the lost? When you see people broken and hurting and bound in frustration and fear and drugs and alcohol and sex, they're bound in their own mind, they're bound in anxiety, they're bound in a joyless life, they're bound in all these things. Does your heart ache and say, I have the answer. God, give me favor. I want to speak to them. I want to be a blessing to them today. I don't have to do it all, but God, let me at least plant a seed today. Yes, yes. Does anybody in the house say that I want my life to represent that Jesus rose from the grave and that I'm walking in resurrection power? Is there anybody in the house that says, I want to walk in that power? Does anybody in here desire to see the lost be found? Does anybody remember what it was like to be lost and be found? Does your heart yearn for other people to be found? Because that's resurrection power. I love the week after Easter. You know why? Because it reminds me of all the weeks after. Everything about the cross and the resurrection is still true. Jesus still died for our sins. We don't need Easter just to be reminded of this. Jesus still died for our sins. The tomb is still empty. Jesus is still alive. Christ's promises are still true. God is still using the ordinary to do the extraordinary. The gospel of Jesus still saves. Jesus still commissions disciples to go into the world and make more disciples. New disciples and old disciples still need to be discipled. And also that resurrection power is available to anyone who wants to be baptized in God's Holy Spirit, and Jesus is still with us to the very end of the age. These are all still true. Amen. So what does that mean, Pastor? It means today and every day is a good day to worship the risen Savior and to go and fulfill the great commission for Jesus. Amen. But you know what? Church, you can't do it under your own power. Jesus knew this about his disciples. That is why before he ascended to heaven to sit down at the right hand of the Father, Jesus gave his last instructions to his disciples. He said, before you go, before you fulfill the great commission that I've called you to do, that I just talked to you about, before you do that, I first want you to go and wait for power from on high. Church, Jesus, he says this in Luke 24:49. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city till the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Church, Jesus isn't gone because Easter's over. No, he sent his presence. This is why he says, I will be with you until the very end of the age. Jesus has empowered us to do what he's called us to do with his very presence, his Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. He is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Jesus tells his disciples what to do when he's gone. I'm going to go, but let me tell you what to do. And then he doesn't just say, hey, good luck. He says, I'm also going to send you the power to get the job done. It was and it is the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit. It was and it is resurrection power. It is the person of the Holy Spirit who lives in us, through us, and around us. You know what? Christianity is not about believing, just about believing. It's also about belonging. Followers of Christ have always been about participation and demonstration. We've sold you a bag of lies that it's just about observation. Nowhere in the gospel does it tell anyone who's a believer of Jesus just to sit around and watch. Never, ever, ever, ever does it say it in there. It doesn't. But we sit around and watch. We watch other people work, but God wants to work in and through you. Christianity is about participation and demonstration. It always is and it always will be. The empowerment of the Holy Spirit is essential and it's vital to our mission, which is the Great Commission. So Easter's over, church. What's next? I don't know. I'm going to go home. I think that's what I'm going to do. You guys figure it out, huh? No, I actually have the answer. Okay. The next thing is this. We should do what the first disciples did. We should pray for the same power that raised Jesus from the dead to fill our lives. Why? So we can go and fulfill the Great Commission for Jesus. Ephesians 5:8 says this, don't be drunk with wine. Don't be drunk with 100 proof. Don't be drunk with liquor. Don't be drunk with alcohol. Don't be drunk with whatever. Don't be drunk with beer. Don't be drunk with anything. Why? Because that'll ruin your life. Man, he could have stopped there and said, duh, right? How many people we know that's been ruined by alcohol? My grandpa's dead because of it. But I love this. He says, don't be drunk with these things. Don't be drunk with the promises of the world. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you want to get Pentecostal, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hey, want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Fill me, God. Fill me, see me, send me. See me, fill me, send me. See me, fill me, send me. Hey, I feel, anybody else feeling that? I was like, hey. Okay. There's your song for today. I don't even know what I said. What did I say? I said, see me, fill me, send me. That's it. I love that. See me, God, and he does. Fill me, God, and he will. Send me, that's up to you. All right, we're finishing up. Holy Spirit, he's a gift to all believers. For every generation, everywhere, until Jesus comes back. But you got to ask for him. If you've asked for salvation before, you can ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, just like salvation's a gift. And guess what? This gift will change your life so you can help change the world. Some of you heard me say that as you're in the hug line and you head out. I said, the world changer lives in you. Go and change the world because the world changer lives in you. It's true. So how do we be filled with the Holy Spirit? First, you yield to this gift by faith. Second, you ask for this gift in faith, or vice versa. You ask for the gift in faith, then you yield to the gift by faith. And the third is this, laying on of hands. It doesn't always have to be this way, but there's a common practice in the New Testament that we lay hands on people and they're filled with the Spirit. Acts 8:17 says this, then Peter and John, who are disciples, laid hands upon these believers and they received the Holy Spirit. Worship team, can you come please? Go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. Go, make, baptize, teach, and obey. Church, you got to go, you got to make, you got to baptize, you got to teach, and you have to obey. And if you can't do that in your own strength, praise God. You're not called to. Power from on high. Fill me so I can go, make, teach, and obey. Rinse and repeat. But church, we can do nothing apart from the Holy Spirit. So here's our Christian foundation. It's to know this. What are we called to do? What's next? What are we called to do? It's the Great Commission. Here's our Christian foundation. Who do we do it for? We do it for Jesus Christo. We do it for Jesus. Our Christian foundation is to know with what power do we do this with? It's resurrection power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead can live in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want my life to mean something. I know it does. I know that Jesus died on the cross for me. I know it meant everything. I know it. It meant everything. It meant everything. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, his begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But he didn't come to condemn the world, but instead to save the world through him. The world's saved, but the world doesn't know about it. He's calling upon his disciples to go and spread the gospel. Mamas, papas, fathers, mothers, you know where you can start? You start at home with your children. You build the kingdom of God by preaching the kingdom of God to your children. Don't wonder later, why my kid go wayward? Well, you didn't open your mouth and tell him the truth. They got to see it in and through your life. They got to see your struggles and your victories. They got to see you praise him in the struggles, praise him in the victories. They got to see the truth. They got to see that you stand even when you feel like falling and crying and running, but you still stand. Then God's calling you to your other parts of your family, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, anybody and everybody you see. God wants to fill you with his compassion, with his eyes, with his feet, with his hands. He wants to anoint you to do what he's called you to do. The Great Commission is for everybody, everywhere, until he comes back again. Will you stand with me? So, church, I want to ask you a question. Does anybody in here today want to be filled with the Spirit? Does anybody in here today say, I need God? Say, I can't do this on my own, but I know I'm called and I want to be filled with his Spirit again? If that's you today, I don't want you to just come up here and lay, just get in the line. I want to lay hands on you. I just want to pray for you. I just want to follow what the Word of God says. I'm even putting a men in because I love you. You're welcome. Does anybody in here say, I want to be filled with the Spirit? I want, maybe you've been filled with the Spirit before, but you're like, I need to be topped off because I'm really not walking out what I'm called to do. I know there's more for my life, and I feel like I want to be empowered to do what He's called me to do. I need resurrection power. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm just going to anoint you here in just a moment. And the worship team's going to sing here in just a moment. So this is a soft close after I'm done praying. If you want to go, you can go. But please do not talk in here. I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit shut you up and put you out in the Spirit. Yeah, hallelujah, right? Talk out there. It's a beautiful day. Talk out there. It's like, get them, Jesus. And hallelujah. In the name. You have not because you ask not. And I just asked for it, so praise God. You know who you are. Okay. But these people, they want to be filled with the Spirit. They want the overflow. First off, I'm going to ask you a question. Everybody in this line here, number one, are you saved? If you're not saved, if Jesus is not your Savior, I want you to raise your hand because I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Because first, you have to be saved. Second, you can be filled. Amen. I know you're saved. Amen. Amen. I remember that day. Hallelujah. It was a good day. It was a wild day.
Yes.
Wild for Jesus.
Yes.
You hear that, Miss Marilyn? Wild. Hallelujah. Okay, everybody in the line that wants to receive, I just want you to put your hands out like this, as if you're receiving a gift. Everybody who wants to stay, I want you to just extend your hands to them. Join me in prayer. Everybody online, if you're watching right now, join me in prayer. Or if that's you today and you're watching online, you want to be filled with the Spirit, I pray right now from the tippy top of your head to the bottom of your feet, the Holy Spirit fills that room right where you're at right now. And if you're driving, pull over because He's going to fill you up right now. And I thank you right now, Holy Spirit, more fire right now in their life. Fill them to overflowing. Do what they can not do on their own strength, but fill them right now completely and wholly. We ask for your Spirit. Fill them up so they can go out and do what's next. The Great Commission. All right, you guys with your hands, let me pray for you. God, I thank you so much for these willing vessels. They want to be filled with your Spirit. They want to do what you've called them to. They want the fire of God to consume every insecurity, every pain, every hurt, everything of their past. They want to be used for the kingdom of God in a new and mighty way. God, they want more of your power, more of your love, more of your compassion, more of who you are. They want to be filled with fire. They want to be the overflow in their life. They want to be used for the kingdom in a supernatural way. So I pray that right now, before I even lay hands on them, fill them right now. Fill them up with your power and your fire right now, like a flood that's coming in. Fill them. Fill them up right now. Woo, come on. Their lives will be vessels for the kingdom of God. They will go places and say things and do things that they only dreamed about. That God, you're going to fill them to a supernatural way. And they're going to go with a supernatural power. Woo, God, I pray the joy of the Lord be their strength. Hallelujah. 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 So if you have your hands out right now, I just want you to say, God, fill me. God, fill me. I just want you to keep saying that. God, fill me. I'm going to come and lay hands.